Long before the first canoe touched a Caribbean shore, the region was shaped by forces older than any human story. The earliest islands rose from fire, pushed upward by shifting plates and molten rock moving in slow, powerful waves. Entire mountain chains formed and sank again as the seafloor opened, closed, and folded over itself. Coastlines appeared, vanished, and reformed as oceans rose and fell across millions of years. Nothing about the Caribbean was fixed. Every ridge, cliff, valley, and shoreline carried the mark of pressure, heat, and time. Scientists who walk these landscapes today read them like chapters in a long book. A layer of volcanic ash tells of a violent eruption. A band of limestone shows when the sea once covered everything. Coral remnants mark old shorelines that no longer exist. The question is simple yet enormous. How did these forces carve the first Caribbean shores, and what world did they create before people arrived? Chapter 1. Stone Without People. The wind comes in from the east as a geologist stands on a high cliff in eastern Jamaica. The cliff face drops into the sea, where waves strike the rock in steady blows. At first glance, it looks like any other rugged coastline. Up close, it tells a story that stretches more than 100 million years into the past. The rock beneath the geologist's feet is volcanic. Its layers show how the Caribbean began long before the world looked anything like it does now. She brushes dust from a dark band of hardened lava. The band is locked between layers of ash that cooled into stone. This place carries evidence of eruptions that once pushed molten rock upward from deep inside the earth. The Caribbean did not start with beaches or forests. Its earliest form began with fire. To understand what happened here, scientists look at the larger setting. The Caribbean plate sits between the North American plate, the South American plate, and the Cocos plate. These giant slabs of Earth's crust never stop moving. They shift by inches each year, but those inches add up. When plates collide, one can slide beneath another in a process known as subduction. When plates pull apart, new seafloor rises. When they grind side by side, they reshape everything around them. More than 100 million years ago, the land that would become the Caribbean was a very different world. Much of it lay under an open sea. The plates around it moved in slow motion, locking and releasing, building pressure that would eventually rise in the form of volcanic arcs. These arcs became chains of islands hundreds of miles long. They were not stable landforms. Many rose quickly and collapsed just as fast. Scientists trace the birth of the Proto-Caribbean seafloor to a time when the region was dominated by hot volcanic activity. Magma pushed upward through cracks in the crust. As it reached the surface, it cooled into new land. The earliest islands were not like those we know today. Many were bare rock with little soil. Eruptions buried older layers and created new peaks. Large portions later sank back into the sea as the crust shifted under their weight. From the cliff in Jamaica, the geologist points to a faint line that runs across the exposed face. She explains that this line marks a shift in sea level that happened long before humans existed. Rising and falling oceans carved early coastlines again and again. As ice sheets formed in distant regions, global sea levels dropped. When those ice sheets melted, the oceans rose and flooded shorelines. Each rise and fall left a mark on the Caribbean's early surface. The Caribbean plate itself began as a thick mass of volcanic rock. It formed far from its current location. Over millions of years, it drifted into place between the continents to the north and south. As it moved, it rode over older crust. The edge of the Caribbean plate slid above parts of the Atlantic seafloor. This motion created intense pressure zones where magma could break through to form volcanoes. In the early stages, the region was unstable. Violent eruptions shaped the landscape. Gas and ash shot into the sky. Lava poured into the ocean. Some eruptions built islands large enough to remain for long periods. Others produced peaks that later eroded away or slipped beneath rising water. The Caribbean's early appearance changed often as new land emerged, while other land vanished. A researcher in the field describes these early islands as temporary markers in a long, shifting story. Many left no trace. The ones that survived did so because of repeated volcanic uplift. When new magma chambers formed, they pushed old land upward. This cycle is preserved in the rocks seen today. Layer after layer shows the history of the Earth's movement. In another part of the region, scientists studied deep trenches along the edge of the Caribbean plate. These trenches formed where one plate slid under another. The pressure in these zones created some of the most dramatic landscape changes in the region's early history. Mountains rose from the sea as the crust folded upward. At the same time, other sections dropped, pulling parts of the seafloor deep below the surface. These forces created the foundation for what would one day become the Greater Antilles and the Lesser Antilles. But at this stage in the story, there were no forests, no rivers, and no human footprints. There was only rock, fire, and the steady movement of the earth. The geologist moves to a second outcrop near the cliff. The stone has a different texture. Its grain shows slower cooling, which means it formed deep underground before being pushed toward the surface. This rock is older than the layers above it. It tells of a time when the region was still building the first shapes of its landmass. She explains that the early Caribbean experienced long periods of calm, followed by sudden bursts of activity. Volcanic arcs might remain quiet for thousands of years, then erupt in a series of events that reshaped the entire area. Some arcs drifted apart as the plates beneath them shifted direction. Others collided, merging their stories into one long chain of islands. During one major period of activity, a vast volcanic arc stretched across what is now the Lesser Antilles. It would have been a site of towering peaks and deep valleys. Eruptions built large land areas. These eventually collapsed under their own weight. The remains of these ancient structures lie underwater today, hidden beneath the modern islands. The ocean played a central role in shaping the early Caribbean. As sea levels moved up and down, shorelines shifted. During low sea levels, much more land was exposed. Valleys extended farther. Mountain bases stood above water. When sea levels rose again, these same valleys flooded. Many early islands became much smaller. Some disappeared entirely. Over the course of millions of years, the Caribbean plate became trapped between the surrounding plates, which pressed and pulled it in different directions. The result was a constant reshaping of the seafloor and the islands on top of it. New faults opened. Old ones shifted. Magma found new paths upward. Every change left a signature in the rocks. In places like Cuba and Hispaniola, scientists find rocks that once lay deep beneath the ocean but are now high in mountain ranges. These rocks prove that powerful tectonic forces lifted whole sections of the crust into the air. The mountains formed as the plates collided at shallow angles. The collisions pushed land upward in huge folds. Over time, erosion carved these folds into the ridges and valleys now seen across the region. To understand the scale of these changes, the geologist describes how long such processes take. A single line of uplift visible in a cliff can represent several million years. A layer of volcanic ash might mark only a few hours of eruption, but the rock above and below it might represent vast stretches of time. The landscape is a record of cycles far longer than any human life. As the Caribbean plate settled into its current position, the early volcanic arcs began to stabilize. Some of the islands became more permanent. Soil slowly formed as rock broke down through weathering. Rain and wind carved channels into the surface. Small basins collected sediment. Over time, these changes prepared the region for later stages of development. But at this point, there was still no sign of human presence. The world was still shaping itself. Far offshore, ridges on the seafloor rose and fell with magma movement. These ridges helped guide ocean currents that influenced how sediment spread across the region. Eroded material from high volcanic peaks settled in deep underwater basins. Over millions of years, these basins filled and hardened into new layers of rock. One of the most significant forces at work in the Caribbean's early history was thermal uplift. As the Caribbean plate moved over hot regions of the mantle, some areas rose. This uplift created broad, high platforms that later eroded into the shape seen today. In many places, this uplift was balanced by subsidence in nearby zones. The land rose in one area while sinking in another. Sea level changes amplified this process. When global sea levels were high, waves cut into the edges of rising land, leaving terraces. These terraces can still be found on several islands. They mark past shorelines at different heights and give scientists clues about how fast the land moved. The geologist returns to the first cliff face to take measurements with a small tool. She notes the angles of the layers. a slight tilt reveals that the land once shifted under pressure. This tilt helps date the movement that caused it. She explains that even a small shift can represent large-scale tectonic activity. Nearby, another scientist studies mineral deposits within a narrow band of rock. These minerals formed when hot fluids passed through cracks. The presence of these minerals shows that the rock was once under intense heat and pressure. The scientist explains that this band likely formed during a major volcanic event. A debate exists among geologists about the precise origin of some early Caribbean structures, but they agree on the broader picture. The region formed through a combination of plate collision, subduction, and volcanic arc development. It was never static. Every few million years brought another cycle of growth or collapse. During one long cycle, volcanic arcs merged to form broader land areas. These regions grew thick crust that resisted sinking. The crust that survived became the foundation of the Greater Antilles. At the same time, other arcs fragmented. Their pieces drifted and formed smaller islands. The Caribbean Sea itself widened as the plates continued to move. Water filled the expanding basin. Sediment settled on the seafloor. Volcanic peaks rose above the water, but remained part of a changing system. Currents shaped underwater valleys and ridges. By the end of this chapter in Earth's history, the region bore only faint resemblance to the modern Caribbean. It lacked the stable coastlines and lush ecosystems known today. Instead, it held a scattered collection of volcanic islands rising from a restless sea. From her vantage point on the cliff, the geologist looks out toward the horizon. She explains that everything we see today is built on these early foundations. The islands that exist now are the survivors of a long process. Many earlier islands have vanished without a trace. The landscape is a product of movement, pressure, and time. Before human arrival, the Caribbean was a place defined entirely by Earth's internal forces. Volcanoes built land. The sea reshaped it. Rising and falling crust created mountains and basins. Sea level changes cut terraces and drowned valleys. Everything was in motion. The chapter ends with a simple question the scientists continue to explore. What forces determined which islands survived, grew, or disappeared as the Caribbean evolved over millions of years? This question leads directly into the next stage of the story, where fire, water, and living stone begin to shape the Caribbean into the form that would one day support reefs, forests, and the first human explorers. Chapter 2, Fire, Water, and Living Stone. Morning light falls over the slopes of a stratovolcano on the island of Dominica. Steam drifts from vents along the flank. The ground feels warm in places. A small team of scientists moves up a narrow trail that cuts across loose ash and hardened rock. They stop near a ridge where the land drops into a wide valley. From here, the volcano rises in a sharp cone that tells a long story about how fire shapes islands. The lead volcanologist points out the layers of hardened ash and lava that form the slope. Each layer marks a different event. Some eruptions were explosive and blasted material high into the air. Others were slower. They sent lava down the sides in long, steady flows. These combined forces built the mountains seen today. She explains that Caribbean volcanoes grow in cycles. Pressure builds underground as molten rock collects in chambers. When gas inside the magma reaches a critical point, it forces its way upward. If the magma is thick, pressure rises quickly and causes explosive eruptions. If it is thin and fluid, it flows more gently. These differences produce landscapes with sharply contrasting shapes. At one site on the slope, the scientists stop to examine a rock with large crystals. The volcanologist explains that this rock formed deep underground, where magma cooled slowly. When later eruptions tore through the crust, they brought pieces of this older material to the surface. Such fragments help scientists reconstruct the inner structure of the volcano. Moving higher, the team reaches a narrow band of ash that lies between two darker layers of lava. The ash is light in texture and breaks easily. The volcanologist notes that this layer came from a major eruption that released a vast cloud of fine particles. These particles settled across the landscape before the next flow of lava sealed them into place. The thickness of the ash band helps date the eruption. From the ridge, the scientists look across the island. They can see other volcanic cones and valleys shaped by past activity. The lead researcher explains that Dominica is part of a long chain of volcanoes that formed where one tectonic plate slides beneath another. This ongoing subduction feeds magma into chambers that lie below the islands. While the team continues its survey, another group of scientists works far below, along the west coast of the island. Their focus is different. They study limestone cliffs that rise above the shoreline. These cliffs tell another part of the story. They formed when ancient seas covered the region. Over long periods, the shells and bodies of marine life settled on the seafloor. These remains hardened into thick layers of limestone. The limestone cliffs reveal that the Caribbean did not form from volcanic activity alone. Water shaped the region with equal force. As volcanoes cooled and eroded, the sea claimed new space. Coral organisms began to grow in warm, shallow waters. Over time, they created reefs that built upward in complex patterns. These reefs later became the foundations of entire islands. A marine geologist stands at the base of a cliff and points to horizontal lines within the limestone. Each line marks a moment when sea level held steady for long enough to build a distinct layer. As the ocean rose, new layers formed higher up. As it dropped, erosion cut into the limestone. These cycles reveal a landscape in motion. To show how coral reefs become part of an island, the marine geologist takes a drill sample from a section of stone. The core reveals tiny coral fragments packed tightly together. These fragments confirm that the cliff was once underwater. The geologist explains that coral reefs began forming after periods of intense volcanic activity cooled. When the magma beneath an island settled, the land became stable enough to support reef growth. Coral is sensitive to depth and sunlight. It grows best in clear, warm waters where light reaches the seafloor. As sea levels rose, the reefs grew upward to stay in this optimal zone. When sea levels dropped, the reefs often died near the surface, leaving behind a framework of skeletons. These skeletons later hardened into limestone. This cycle of reef growth and death repeated many times across the Caribbean. The result is a complex mixture of volcanic and limestone landscapes. Some islands grew primarily from volcanic activity. Others formed from coral and sediment. Many, however, developed through a combination of both. These mixed islands have volcanic centers surrounded by broad limestone terraces. In areas where volcanic islands sank slowly, coral reefs kept pace with the change. The reefs grew upward as the land subsided. When this happened over long periods, the reefs could rise into structures so large that they shaped the entire island. These formations are called reef caps. They form broad plateaus of limestone that rest on volcanic foundations. Marine scientists studying coastal shelves explain how these reefs influence the shape of modern coastlines. As waves hit the edge of a reef cap, they break and lose energy. This process protects beaches and bays behind the reef. The natural barrier created by coral allows sediment to settle in calm waters. Over time, these sheltered zones develop into beaches, wetlands, and lagoons. One scientist describes how the Caribbean's shallow banks formed. These banks sit just below the water's surface. They stretch for miles in some areas. Many banks began as volcanic structures that later sank. Coral then grew over them in wide sheets. When sea levels dropped, these banks sometimes emerged as islands. When sea levels rose, they returned underwater. The remains of ancient banks shape the region's shallow seas today. In the waters off Andros and the Bahamas, marine researchers examine submerged terraces that mark old shorelines. These terraces show where the sea once stood for long periods. Each terrace captures a moment when coral growth matched the rate of land movement and sea level change. The depth of each terrace helps determine the timing of past climate cycles. As the marine geologists record their findings, another team works atop a limestone plateau on a different island. This plateau is flat and wide. Its surface is pitted by natural channels carved by rainwater. The scientists explain that limestone dissolves slowly when exposed to rain. Over time, the rain creates shallow valleys and sinkholes. These features give many Caribbean islands their distinctive surface patterns. On the plateau, the scientists study a large sinkhole with steep sides. They note the layers of limestone along the walls. Each layer formed during a different period of reef growth. The sinkhole itself formed after the land rose above sea level and began to weather. The researchers explain that sinkholes reveal the long cycle of reef building, land uplift, and surface erosion. To understand how these features develop, scientists model the interaction between uplift and reef growth. If land rises slowly, coral reefs can keep pace by growing upward. If the land rises too quickly, the reefs become stranded above the water and die. This balance determines which islands develop broad limestone terraces and which remain primarily volcanic. A geologist explains that the Caribbean's mixed islands formed where tectonic uplift and coral reef growth worked together. Volcanic centers pushed land upward. At the same time, reefs built limestone rims around the edges. When sea levels changed, these rims expanded or shrank. Over long periods, this interaction created complex shapes that remain today. As the day continues, the team on Dominica reaches a fumarole near the crater of the volcano. The ground hisses as gas escapes. The volcanologist notes that even when a volcano appears quiet, activity continues beneath the surface. Heat rises through cracks and vents. Mineral deposits form around the openings. These signs help predict future eruptions. She explains how explosive eruptions shape the land in ways different from slow lava flows. Explosive eruptions can remove parts of a mountain, sending ash across large areas. The ash later settles into layers that become part of the island's geological record. Slow eruptions add material to the surface, thickening the land. These two processes compete to shape the structure of a volcano. Elsewhere on the island, another scientist measures the temperature of hot springs that flow down the slopes. The springs contain minerals dissolved from the rock. Their temperature shows how close magma lies beneath the surface. As volcanic systems change, the temperature of the springs moves up or down. These changes help track the health of the volcano. Down at the coast, marine scientists dive into clear water to study living coral reefs. These reefs continue the story written in the limestone cliffs. Coral polyps build tiny skeletons of calcium carbonate. When millions of polyps grow together, they create massive structures that can alter the coastline. The scientists film coral colonies in different stages of growth. Some clusters show bright colors that signal healthy communities. Others show pale patches where coral has died. The marine team discusses how coral responds to changes in the environment. Warm water can stress the coral. Sediment from nearby land can block sunlight. Pollution can slow growth. These stresses leave marks in the coral layers. When coral dies, algae or other marine organisms take over. The remains settle on the seafloor and harden over time. A senior marine biologist explains that coral reefs act as living records. They capture information about sea levels, storm patterns, and temperature changes. By studying these records, scientists reconstruct the conditions that shaped the early Caribbean coastline. They can trace how reef growth rose and fell with changing seas. In some parts of the region, coral growth expanded so much that it created wide platforms. When later uplift raised these platforms above the water, they became limestone plains. These plains now form the heart of several islands. They tell a story of times when the sea covered everything, followed by long periods of exposure. The interplay between volcanic activity and reef formation is central to the Caribbean's geological identity. Where volcanoes created high ground, reefs built protective rims around the coast. Where land sank, reefs grew upward to keep pace. The meeting of these forces produced landscapes with steep volcanic peaks and broad limestone terraces. In areas where volcanic islands subsided faster than reefs could grow, the islands disappeared. What remains today are submerged banks or deep underwater ridges. These hidden features influence currents and marine ecosystems. They also reveal how the region changed during major shifts in sea levels. A coastal geologist working in the Virgin Islands maps underwater shelves that fringe the islands. She explains that these shelves were once dry land during past ice ages. As sea levels rose, the shelves flooded. Coral then grew along the new shorelines. These reefs built outward as long as sunlight reached the seafloor. When sea levels rose too quickly, parts of the shelf remained bare. The submerged shelves play a role in shaping waves and currents. They cause waves to break farther from the shore. This protects beaches and allows fine sand to settle. Without these shelves, many Caribbean beaches would look very different. Throughout the region, limestone and volcanic rock often sit side by side. The contrast shows how fire and water shape the Caribbean together. In some landscapes, volcanic ridges rise above broad limestone plains. In others, limestone cliffs tower over valleys filled with volcanic soil. These combinations result from millions of years of shifting land and changing seas. Toward afternoon, the team on Dominica descends to a lower part of the volcano. They pass through a valley filled with boulders that came from past eruptions. Some boulders weigh several tons. The volcanologist explains that violent eruptions can send material flying through the air. When the boulders strike the ground, they carve out trails. Over time, these trails become channels for water. Near the base of the volcano, the team finds a dark layer of rock created by fast-moving lava. This layer rests on top of older deposits. The volcanologist describes how each layer records a moment in time. Some layers show quiet periods, when the volcano released only gas and steam. Others show catastrophic events. While the land team continues their work, the marine scientists examine a coral reef that sits near the tip of a peninsula. They study a section where coral has grown over volcanic boulders. This blend of rock types shows how reefs adapt to their surroundings. As sediment accumulates, new coral colonies form. Over time, these colonies build a platform that can extend far from the original shoreline. The team notes that coral reefs do not grow evenly. Some areas flourish while others stagnate. This pattern depends on water quality, sunlight, and currents. When reefs grow well, they produce thick layers of calcium carbonate. When growth slows, gaps form. These gaps later fill with sand or fragments of coral. A marine biologist points to a coral head that has grown upward in a spiral pattern. She explains that this shape allowed the coral to keep pace with rising sea levels during one period of growth. When sea levels rose too quickly, the coral could not keep up. The top sections died and became part of the reef's limestone core. As the marine team collects samples, they observe fish and other marine life moving through the coral branches. These organisms play small roles in shaping the reef. Some graze on algae, others carry sediment. Their actions influence how coral colonies spread. In the late afternoon, the land team returns to the coastline. They stop at a section where limestone meets volcanic rock. The boundary between the two is sharp. The volcanologist explains that this contact zone formed when volcanic material erupted onto a reef platform. The reef later stabilized and continued to grow around the volcanic rock. This pattern of overlap appears throughout the Caribbean. It shows that the region's geological history is not a simple sequence. Fire and water work together across long periods. The result is a landscape built from both destruction and slow growth. A researcher studying the contact zone compares it to chapters in a book. Each rock type holds a different story. Volcanic rock tells of eruptions and heat. Limestone tells of calm seas and thriving coral. Together, they reveal a shifting balance that shaped the region. As the day nears its end, the scientists gather their notes. They review the data collected from the volcano, the limestone cliffs, the shallow shelves, and the coral reefs. The combined information creates a picture of how fire and water built the Caribbean's diverse landscapes. The chapter closes with a clear question that leads into the final part of the story. How did these interacting forces set the stage for the exact Caribbean shape that humans would one day discover? Chapter 3, The Shape of a New World. Mist hangs over the Blue Mountains as dawn breaks across the eastern edge of Jamaica. The air is cool and still. A geologist stands among tall ridges and steep valleys that rise in long folded lines. The sun climbs slowly, revealing the sharp angles of the peaks. These mountains form during the final uplift phases that shape the modern Caribbean. They show how the land settled into its present form just before humans arrived. She touches a slab of rock embedded in the trail. Its surface is rough. The rock formed deep underground and rose during one of the last major pulses of tectonic pressure. As the Caribbean plate pressed against nearby plates, parts of the land lifted, other parts twisted or bent. These movements created the broad mountain ranges seen today in Jamaica, Hispaniola, and Puerto Rico. From the ridge, she looks out over the landscape. The mountains run like long spines across the island. Deep valleys lie between them, carved by water over long periods. On some slopes, cliffs drop into narrow gorges. Rivers cut through the rock, following paths shaped by fault lines and erosion. This combination of uplift and erosion produced the rugged form of the Greater Antilles. Far to the south, in St. Lucia, another team of scientists enters the Pitons region. Two volcanic spires rise sharply from the sea. They formed when the last major volcanic pulses pushed magma upward into steep cones. Erosion later removed softer material, leaving the peaks as striking pillars. They show how volcanic islands reach their final shape through a blend of uplift, cooling, and weathering. On the island of Puerto Rico, a geomorphologist walks along a long ridge that sits above the central valley. The ridge formed through repeated uplift events. Over time, rainfall carved deep channels into the mountain sides. These channels widened into valleys, which shifted the land into a pattern of ridges and basins. The geomorphologist explains that these features existed long before humans arrived. They were the result of repeated cycles of rising land and flowing water. To the north, in the Bahamas, another scientist examines a limestone cliff overlooking a wide bank of shallow water. The Bahamas sit on a massive limestone platform that formed from ancient coral reefs. As sea levels rose and fell, the reefs grew, died, and hardened into stone. Later uplift raised parts of this platform above the surface. Wind and waves carved the exposed limestone into sharp ridges and rounded hills. The result is a landscape very different from the volcanic islands to the south. These examples show the three major island types that define the Caribbean's final form. Volcanic islands rise with steep peaks. Limestone islands stretch across broad platforms. Mixed islands combine volcanic centers with limestone rims. Each type reached its final shape through different processes, yet all share a history of uplift, erosion, and shifting seas. The volcanic islands formed when magma pushed to the surface. They cooled into rock and rose into mountain chains. Over time, erosion carved their slopes. Rainfall cut deep valleys. Rivers flowed toward the sea and left behind fans of sediment. In some areas, cliffs formed where the land dropped sharply into the water. These islands have dramatic shapes with sharp peaks, narrow ridges, and steep coastal walls. Limestone islands formed through slow accumulation. Coral reefs built upward in warm, shallow seas. When sea levels dropped, the reefs stood above the water. They hardened into limestone. Rain dissolved parts of the stone, carving sinkholes and channels. Wind shaped the cliffs. Waves smoothed the shore. Limestone islands often have broad plateaus and gentle slopes. Their coastlines feature long beaches, shallow bays, and low ridges. Mixed islands sit between these two extremes. They formed when volcanic land rose and later became partly covered by coral reefs. As sea levels moved, the reefs turned into limestone terraces. These terraces wrap around the volcanic centers. The result is a landscape with high mountains in the middle and flat limestone plains near the coast. The contrast between the two materials shapes rivers, valleys, and shores. A scientist in Puerto Rico stands near the boundary where volcanic rock meets limestone. The contact line marks a moment in the island's long development. Volcanic material formed the core. Later uplift and changing seas allowed coral growth around the edges. When the land rose again, the coral became limestone. The scientist explains that this pattern appears throughout the Caribbean and marks one of the final steps in the region's formation. In the Lesser Antilles, the land tells a different story. Many of the islands there remain volcanically active. Their shapes reflect ongoing uplift and erosion. Dominica, St. Vincent, and Montserrat show signs of recent eruptions. Peaks stand sharp and unweathered in places. Valleys fill with loose ash from recent activity. These landscapes were still forming when humans first arrived. Far from these active islands, the limestone platforms of the Bahamas offer a quieter record. Ancient reefs hardened into stone and rose slowly. When the land emerged, rainfall carved shallow valleys. Currents shaped the coastlines. Sand built up into long beaches. These processes created the smooth, rolling shape of the limestone islands. To bring these landscapes together, a team of researchers builds a regional map. They trace how volcanoes, limestone platforms, and mixed islands settled into place. Their map anchors the story of the Caribbean's final form. The map shows the Greater Antilles as long, high islands built from complex layers of uplifted rock. The Lesser Antilles form a curve of steep volcanic peaks. The Bahamas lie on a broad limestone platform to the north. To the south and east, coral reefs and submerged banks stretch across the Caribbean Sea. This layout did not exist in a single moment. It developed through countless cycles of rising land, falling land, and changing seas. In Cuba, scientists study wide plains that formed when uplift raised large blocks of land. Erosion softened the landscape. Rivers carved long valleys. Coastal terraces reflect old sea levels. The island's broad shape shows how tectonic forces created one of the largest landmasses in the region. In Hispaniola, mountains tower across the island's center. These mountains form through powerful uplift events. Later erosion carved out deep basins. The contrast between high peaks and broad valleys set the pattern for future ecosystems. Before humans arrived, forests covered these mountains. Rivers flowed through the valleys. The island's shape supported diverse habitats. In Jamaica, the Blue Mountains and the Cockpit Country show how uplift and weathering work together. The Blue Mountains rise in a long spine. The Cockpit Country formed when limestone dissolved into a maze of valleys and ridges. This region is one of the most striking examples of karst topography in the Caribbean. Its shape came from water carving into limestone over thousands of years. The scientists who study these landscapes explain that erosion is as important as uplift. Without erosion, volcanic islands would remain sharp and unstable. Erosion breaks down rock and creates soil. It carves valleys that guide rivers. It shapes coastlines through wave action. It smooths out steep slopes and forms plains. One geomorphologist stands near a cliff where waves strike the base with steady force. She describes how wave action shapes the coast. When waves hit a cliff, they carve a notch at the base. Over time, the cliff collapses. The land retreats. New cliffs form farther inland. This slow process shaped many Caribbean coastlines before humans ever saw them. In other places, erosion created beaches. As rivers carried sediment to the coast, waves sorted the material. Fine sand settled on calm shores. Coarse fragments remained near rocky edges. Over time, beaches formed in arcs that followed the shape of the land. In the Turks and Caicos Islands, wide beaches stretch across limestone platforms. These beaches formed from coral fragments washed ashore. Wind-shaped dunes behind the beaches. Plants held the dunes in place. This cycle created the soft, rolling patterns seen across the islands today. In contrast, volcanic islands often have black sand beaches. These form when molten rock cools quickly in water and breaks into small grains. The dark sand settles in coves where waves cannot sweep it away. These beaches mark the volcanic history of the land. Throughout the region, rivers shaped the land as they moved across slopes. In volcanic islands, rivers carved deep gorges. In limestone islands, rivers dissolved channels that later formed caves. These underground rivers shaped the interior of many islands before they reached the coast. In Puerto Rico, the Rio Camuy carved a vast network of caves. This system formed during the final uplift phases when the land rose high enough for water to flow underground. The caves show how powerful erosion can be over long periods. The scientists describe the pre-human Caribbean as a region of clear divisions. High volcanic peaks dominated some islands, broad limestone plains covered others. Mixed islands offered both landscapes. Forests filled the valleys, rivers shaped the slopes, coastlines shifted with every change in sea level. The region's final shape influenced wind patterns, currents, and rainfall. Tall mountains captured moisture from passing air. Rain fell heavily on windward slopes and created lush forests. Leeward slopes were drier. These patterns existed long before the first people arrived. The landscape set the stage for future cultures. To better understand the late stages of the region's formation, the map team looks at how the islands sit in relation to one another. The curve of the Lesser Antilles marks a long volcanic arc. The Greater Antilles form a chain of uplifted landmasses. The Bahamas stretch across a broad limestone platform. The Southern Caribbean includes a mix of old volcanic structures and large reef formations. This arrangement reflects the forces that shaped the region. Volcanic arcs formed along plate boundaries. Uplift occurred where plates collided. Reefs grew where water was shallow. As sea levels changed, these forces worked together to create the final pattern of islands. Before humans arrived, the Caribbean was a world shaped entirely by these forces. No structures stood on the land. No fields or roads marked the surface. Only forests, reefs, rivers, and mountains existed. The land carried the marks of deep time. A historian of science joins the MAP team to discuss how this understanding can guide modern engagement. She explains that appreciating the ancient origins of the Caribbean helps people see the landscape as a living archive. Every ridge, beach, and plateau carries a story. Understanding these stories prevents misconceptions and supports respectful treatment of the region. She points to places where tourism has shaped local perceptions. Some coastlines appear stable, but are actually part of long cycles of erosion. Some hills that look permanent were once underwater. The land is still moving in subtle ways. Knowing this helps people make informed choices about how to interact with the landscape. A coastal scientist adds that understanding ancient shorelines helps protect modern ones. The Caribbean's beaches and bays formed over long periods. They respond to changes in sea level. They shift with storms. They depend on healthy reefs and natural buffers. Respecting this history ensures better stewardship in the present. A final reflection comes from a geomorphologist who has worked across the region. He stands on a high ridge and looks across the landscape. He explains that the Caribbean is a record of the Earth's forces written in stone. The region's shape today is the outcome of fire, water, uplift, erosion, and time. It is a place formed by cycles that long predate human cultures. Understanding deep time Earth teaches a simple lesson. The land is not fixed. It changes. It evolves. It responds to forces far older than human history. By learning how these forces shape the Caribbean, people can approach the region with respect, curiosity, and a sense of responsibility. The chapter closes with a clear idea. The Caribbean's final form before human arrival was a world of peaks, valleys, reefs, and plains shaped by the earth alone. This understanding offers guidance for how to engage with the region today. It reminds people that the land carries a long memory and that caring for it requires understanding the forces that created it.